ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर्स टू एंटाइटल्ड एज कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर इज 13। सो काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी। हिनोस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहांतर प्राप्ति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। एज द एम्बॉडीड सोल कंटिन्यूअसली पासेस इन दिस बॉडी फ्रॉम बॉयहुड टू यूथ टू ओल्ड एज, द सोल सिमिलरली पासेस इन टू अनदर बॉडी एट डेथ। अ सोबर पर्सन इज नॉट बिविल्डर्ड बाय सच अ चेंज। परपोर्ट: Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and doesn't undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So, in either case, there was no cause of lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of individual soul, the super soul and nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or a most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of the bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the Supreme cleavable or changeable against the principle of the Supreme Souls being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the Supreme exist eternally, Sanatana, and are called Kshara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the super soul who is present in each and every individual body and is known as the Paramatma. He is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then the relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other the instructed. Such instruction would be useless because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity, Arjuna, who is a forgotten soul deluded by Maya. Om Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome you all to today's Bhagavad Gita class. So for last few days, we have been discussing on Bhagavad Gita. So many senior devotees have been giving classes, beautiful classes on Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada said, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted by all the people, irrespective of taking into consideration which caste, creed, religion or country one belongs to. He said, whether you are a Hindu, Muslim or Christian, it doesn't matter. Bhagavad Gita means it's a knowledge. So Bhagavad Gita, in the form of knowledge, has to be accepted openly and universally. So it's a wonderful opportunity for me to get purified by speaking on Bhagavad Gita. So I seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. So before we begin the discussion on today's verse, I would like to recapitulate. So this chapter begins with Arjuna lamenting. Arjuna is showing compassion on the material grounds. Tam tata krupaya avishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam vishidanta midam vakyam uvacha Madhusudana. So he is shedding tears, but on what grounds? He is misidentifying himself with the body. Of course, Arjuna is a pure devotee. He is eternal associate of the Lord. But still, since he is representing all of us, Arjuna is showing compassion. Now this so-called compassion is glorified on modern text. But then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he does not vouch for it. Rather, Krishna, he scolds Arjuna, saying, he calls himself to such an extent that he calls Arjuna to be a neuter. He says, Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam. This is not befitting any Arya. Arya means one who knows the value of the human form of life. And then he says, Klebhyam. Klebhyam means this does not befit a Kshatriya. Then we see that Arjuna, he restates his arguments again and again. Gurun Hatvani Mahanubhavan Bhaiksham Api Ihaloke Hatvartha Kamansa Guruni Haiva Bhunjiya Bhogan Radira Pradigdan. So Arjuna is saying that even if I kill all my kinsmen, the enjoyment that I will have or the kingdom that I will be tainted with the blood of my own kinsmen. So I don't want it. And finally, all of his, he just gives up his Gandiva bow, Vepatuscha Sharire Me Ro Maharshascha Jayate, and his body starts curing. Takcheva Paridayate, his skin is burning, and in that situation, he finds no other way than to take shelter of Krishna. So Karpanya Dosho Pata Sobhava, he finally surrenders to Krishna. And Krishna now accepts the position of a guru. Now, as we all know, the foremost duty of a guru is to first chastise his disciple. To call him that you are a fool number one. So we can see here, Krishna is calling Arjuna a fool number one. So ashochan anva shochastam pragya vadan shabajase gatasuna gatasuncha nanu shochanti pandita. You are speaking like a learned man, but Arjun, learned man always sees what he always sees in the right perspective. He sees the things in the right perspective. So learned man is the one who has the perfect knowledge of the things. So ashochan anva shochastam, you are mourning for what is not worthy of lamenting. So in this purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna calls Arjuna fool. And he says, you are talking like a learned man, but learned man never laments because they have knowledge of difference between body and spirit soul. So that is real knowledge. And further he goes on to say that actual knowledge means what? Knowledge between knowing the difference between body and soul, and matter, spirit, soul, and the controller of both. To know the matter, spirit, soul, and control of both is the real knowledge. So, this is what is the background, and now today's verse, as we can see, this is the first ever lesson that one has to go through when one takes up to the Krishna consciousness or one shows interest in spirituality. So what we'll do is, in today's verse we'll try to analyze, we'll discuss by analyzing the keywords. So first three keywords are Dehinosmin, which means Dehina means embodied, Asmin means in this, Dehe is in the body, which means that which resides in the body. So which is that? The soul, the spirit soul. So this is the first ever lesson that Krishna is imparting in Bhagavad Gita to his disciple Arjun. So Srila Prabhupada, he gives that famous example in this regard. He says, if someone asks you, my dear sir, who are you? So in general, people, because out of ignorance, they don't know who they are. So they say, I am so and so, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. But Prabhupada said, just like someone asks you, whose finger is this? And we say, this is my finger. And similarly, if someone says, what is this? And we say, this is my nose. And so on and so forth. My eyes. Finally, we say, my body. We never say that I finger or I eyes or I body like that. So when we say my body, my eyes, that means that I is different from this body. So what is that I? That I-ness, the self, is the spirit soul. So we get the information from Bhagavad Gita that this body is made up of 8 material elements. There are 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements. Bhumi rapanolo vayu khammano buddhire vacha ahankara ityamme bhinna vargadrishtata. Earth, air, fire, water, ether, these are 5 gross elements. And mind, intelligence, false ego, these are the subtle, 3 subtle elements. But the person who is dwelling inside is separate from this body. So Krishna says, mamaivansha jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. So mamaivansha, the person who is dwelling inside, that thing which is dwelling inside is eternally fragmental part and parcel of mind. And that is spirit soul. As is confirmed in the 7th chapter also, apareyam itasanyam prakritim vidyame paran jiva bhutan mahabhavo yedam dharete jagat. Whatever we see around is nothing but dead matter. It cannot move on its own. So apareyam, so this is separated energy of mind, Krishna says, and it is inert by in and of itself, it is inert. It cannot move on its own. So apareyam itasvanyam prakritim vidyame param jiva bhutan mahabhavo yedam dharete. Living entities are actually lording over this dead matter. So it is the spirit soul which is moving the living entities. For example, this material object, it cannot move on its own. But I can move it. So living entity, Krishna says, is superior to this dead material elements. And this particular fact has been corroborated in today's modern literatures also. There is a concept called NDE and OBE, near-death experience and out-of-body experience. So many doctors, they have vouched to this fact. While performing the surgery, they have seen how the spirit soul the body is completely lying unconscious, anesthesia has been given, and after the whole surgery is over, the person has reported that actually from above I was watching everything, and so many such instances have taken place. So near-death experience and out-of-body experience, that also confirms this particular difference between body and spirit soul. So Srila Prabhupada, he was in Russia, and he used to meet many, many big such scholarly people, especially scientists. So, as we know, there was this famous Professor Kotovsky. Though he was PhD, he had a big degree to his account. But still, he didn't have the basic knowledge of the soul. So he didn't believe in the spirit soul. Whereas Srila Prabhupada said, back in India, of course then, during 1960s and 70s, when people still had faith in the Vedic scriptures and they had the basic information about the spirit soul. So Srila Prabhupada says, even a thela wala back in India or rickshaw wala, they know who they are. They know very well that they are not this material body and their spirit soul. And I am put into this position because of my own karmas. Also, we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, as I said, yasyasti bhaktir. Sorry, yasyatma buddhir kuna petri dhatuke. This body is made up of 3 material ingredients, namely kapha, vata, pitta. Swadi kalatradishu bhoma ijjadi. So anyone who misidentifies oneself with this dead body and the further connections of this body, like kalatradishu means one's own wife, or bhoma ijja, one who thinks that this land where this body has taken birth is worshipable. So such person is to be considered janeshu abhigyeshu sa eva gokhara. He is considered to be no better than a cow or an ass. That means an animal basically. And as we all know, the famous story of this liquid beauty, where the boy is attracted to the beauty of this young girl. And he approaches the girl saying that, I want to enjoy you. And girl says, okay, you come after a few days. And after a few days, when he comes back, the person that he meets is not the same person. So that girl has become very old, her body is completely emaciated. And he says, "Where is that girl, that beautiful girl?" And then she takes him to the inner chambers of the room where there were big, big jars kept. And he opens the jars. And to his surprise, what he sees inside were all obnoxious elements like vomit, stool, urine, etc. So he asks, because he's confused, "So what is this? What is the meaning of this?" And she says, "This is the beauty that you were looking for, you wanted to enjoy." So moral is, this body is actually not beautiful. It is said there are 9 gates, 9 holes in the body. And one sannyasi, he asked this question, "Show me one hole from where there is nice, fragrant substance oozing out of this hole." That is the nature of this material body. But a person in divine consciousness, he can actually see that the self is distinct from this body. Naiva kinchit karometi yukto manneta tatva. Pashyan shrinvan sprushan jigran ashnan gachan sopan shasan pralapan visrajan grindan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyarteshu vartante iti dharayan. So naiva kinchit karometi yukto manneta tatva. Pashyan, actually such person who is established in divine consciousness, he can see that the eyes are looking, pashyan shrinvan, ears are hearing, and all these senses, so on and so forth, they come in contact with the sense objects. So senses are coming in contact of the sense objects. The self is completely distinct from this senses and sense objects. Then we see, to hammer this particular point that soul is different from the body, of course, in the forthcoming verses, we'll see Krishna, through different angles, he's reiterating the same point that how you are not this body, Arjun, you are spirit soul. So same thing is corroborated again and again in different scriptures. So body has been compared to a chariot. These are all figurative descriptions given about the body. So in Kathopanishad we see that how body is compared to a chariot. So if this body is to be compared to a vehicle or a chariot, then the senses are compared to the horses. And the passenger who is sitting inside the vehicle is compared to the spirit soul. The chariot driver is compared to the intelligence, and the reins of the horses are compared to the mind. And we also see in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the similar kind of description, there is a figurative description given about how body is compared to a tree. And it's a wonderful explanation given by the demigods. Demigods are praying when Lord appears in the womb of Mother Devaki, and they are offering their beautiful prayers to the Lord. So in that prayer, the prayer is also so beautiful that it is constructed in such a way that it is proportionate to the ascending numbers that we'll see how this various limbs of the body are compared to tree. So they say there is one body, the body is compared to the one tree, then that tree is deeply rooted into the material ground, and this tree has two fruits. So first we had one tree, now there are two fruits on this tree. And these fruits are, number one, enjoyment of happiness, and number two, sufferings of distress. Then there are three roots. So one tree, then two fruits. Now there are three roots nourished by the material ground. And what are those roots? Any guesses? Mode of passion, goodness and ignorance. So 1, 2, 3. Now, the fruit of happiness has 4 kinds of test. Fourth one. What are those tests? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Religiosity, then economic development, sense gratification, and moksha means liberation. And this is to be enjoyed through Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki. This is to be enjoyed through the 5 senses under 6 circumstances. Namely, lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. This tree has a bark having 7 layers. And what are those 7 layers? So layers are skin, blood, muscles, fat, bone, marrow, and semen. This tree also has 8 branches, and they are compared to 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements, as we discussed before. And this tree also has 9 hollows. So what are those hollows? Those hollows are compared to 2 ears, I mean 2 nostrils, 2 ears, then 1 mouth, genital and rectum. And finally, this tree has 10 kinds of leaves, which are compared to 10 airs which are flowing within the body. Prana, Pana, Vaya, Vyan, Udhan, Saman. And there are 5 sub-airs called Naga, so on and so forth. So, basically, we have to understand this spirit soul is different from body. As we can see in Krishna book, there is a mention about Narad Muni asking. He is imparting basically the instructions to Nalakubber and Manigriva in that episode, when Narad Muni sees that they were not properly dressed, they were not in proper condition. So he starts instructing these 2 puffed up souls. So in that instruction, he asks Nalakubber and Manigriva, so whom does this body belong to? Before committing any sinful activities, one should inquire into this matter. Whom does this body belong to? Does it belong to father, that father which injects the semen into the womb of the woman? Or does it belong to the master who feeds his slave and getting the services, extracting the services out of the slave? Or does it belong to the grandfather or father or mother who gives their daughter in charity in order to have a son of that daughter as their own son? Or does it belong to a fire? After soul quits, body is dead and it is to be burned. So whether it belongs to the fire? Or does it belong to the dogs or other kinds of animals like foxes and wolves when the body is thrown into the jungle or lying on the roads? So whom does this body belong to? So the conclusion that is given by Narad Muni is this body belongs to the material elements. Anyone who considers this body is to be mine is said to be in illusion, Maya. So finally, we have Srila Prabhupada's famous statement. He says, this body is a bad bargain. There are so many limitations in this body, and this body is a storehouse of all diseases and all miseries. But still, we have to make best use of it. Then the next keywords that we come across in this verse are Kaumaram means boyhood, Yavvanam means youth, Jara, that is old age. So, basically, these keywords establishes the fact of transmigration of the soul. The atheistic people, they don't believe in this concept of transmigration of the soul. They think that after death, there is no birth. So after death, everything is void, everything is finished. But the argument, counter-argument that can be raised in this regard is, why in the next body? Within the same lifetime, within the same body, we can see how the soul is transmigrating in different stages within the same body. For example, all of us, when we were a small kid, 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old, our body was different. When we look into mirror, our present image is definitely different from what we looked before when we were 3 years or 5 years old. Also, according to the biological science, there is one scientist, John Pfeiffer. He writes in his book, The Human Brain. He says, your body does not contain a single one of the molecules that it contained 7 years ago. Which means, all the cells within the body, they are replaced by the newer cells after every 7 years. So it proves that the body is constantly changing. Simple example. Even the hair. At every moment, growth is taking place. It's growing. But just because we don't have the proper sight to understand the growth of the hair, it doesn't mean that it's not growing. After a few days, definitely we can see the effect. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the lectures to this verse, he says, for example, a stranger, after meeting a person who was a kid long time before, after a long time these two people are meeting, so stranger says, oh, you are grown up. You are such a small kid and now you are grown up. So these are all simple things, common sense, you know, which establishes the fact that even within this lifetime, within this body, soul is passing through the various stages. Then the next keyword that we'll be discussing is on Dehantara, transfer of the body. And this has been confirmed at various places in Bhagavad Gita, which we'll come across in the future verses. In the second chapter itself, there is a famous analogy given of the clothes, changing of the clothes. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Just like when a person sees that the present clothes are torn, mutilated, soiled, then he casts away the old garments and puts on the new garments. Similarly, soul when sees that the body is no more worthy of sense gratification, then soul quits the present body and enters into another body, newer body. In the 15th chapter, it is said, Shariram yada vapanoti yachapi utkramatishvarah grihitvaitani samyati vayur gandhani vashayad. So another analogy, wherein it is wonderfully explained how the fragrance is carried, the aroma is carried away by the air. Just like that, spirit soul is carried away from one body to another body through consciousness. How is it done? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram tam tam evete kontya sada tad bhav bhavitaha. The state of consciousness that one carries at the time of death is sure to have in his next lifetime. The similar state of consciousness he will have. That is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. But foolish people, they cannot see all this. As I said, utkramantam sidam vapi bhunjanam va gunanmitam vimudananu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chetasa. So, foolish people, they don't have that vision to see. But those who are enlightened in the subject matter, they can very well see. In Bhagavatam also it is said, deha patya kalatradishu atma sinyeshu asastapi tesham pramatya nidanam pashyana pina pashyati deha apatya. Deha means body, apatya, the children, kalatradishu, wife, atma sinyeshu, they are considered to be, a man considers them to be the soldiers, the army, but then they are all fallible. Still, pashyana pina pashyati. He sees one after another, all of the soldiers, they fall down. But still, he doesn't want to see. Pashyana pina pashyati. So, this dehantara, transfer of this body, transfer of the soul, proves how mind is different from brain. Because in today's society, generally those who don't have the information about spirit soul, they think that mind and brain is one and the same thing. So one person, Mr. E.M. Stevenson, Carlson Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Virginia, he has extensively investigated cases of past life memories. And as in this temple, there is this Gita course conducted on a monthly basis. So His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, once he was giving a lecture on the similar concept. And from the audience, one person who was keenly listening to his lecture, at the end of the lecture, he went and approached Gaur Gopal Prabhu and said, whatever you spoke actually has happened in my own life. And that person, if anybody is interested, can actually come and see that person. Every month he comes. In fact, we invite him for this program so that people can actually believe. And now someone may question, okay, transmigration, I do agree. So, wherever I want, I will take birth. But we get the information from the scriptures that there is no choice given to the spirit soul as to where he wants the birth. Otherwise, definitely, all of us, we would like to have higher birth from different angles, you know, from the point of view of land. Like someone may say that I want birth in America, and someone may say from the point of races and caste and creeds that I want to take birth in a Brahmin family. But we get the information from the scriptures that transmigration is conducted under the higher supervision. Karmana deva netrena jantur deha upapattyate sriya pravishta udaram punsareta kanasriha kanasrayaha. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, that is Paramatma, who is situated in everyone's heart, and according to the results of the karma, the activities of the living entities, the soul is made to enter into the womb of a particular living entity. And how is it done? Punsa reta kanasrayaha. Spirit soul first enters into the semen of a male, and then it is transferred into the womb of a female. Prabhupada says in this regard, just like in a prison cell, there is a particular dress code that is awarded to the imprisoners. Now, imprisoner, he may not accept, and I don't want this. I don't like this. But there is no choice left to the imprisoners, you see. So similarly, the body is awarded not as per the choice. It is forced upon the living entities. And how that is done? It is given as per the law of karma. Jalaja navalakshani sthavara lakshavinshati kramayo rudra sankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam trinshalakshani pashava chatur lakshani manava. And that body could be any out of these 8.4 million species. Chalaja Navalakshani, there are 9 lakh species, aquatics, species in water. Stavara Lakshavinshati, Stavara Lakshavinshati, non-moving beings, trees and plants, they are Lakshavinshati, there are 20 lakh such species. Pakshinam Dashalakshanan, there are 10 lakhs kinds of birds flying in the sky. Kramayo Rudra Sankhaga, there are 11 lakh kinds of germs and bacteria and viruses. Trinshalakshani Pashava, and 30 lakh species who are four-legged, quadrupeds, and finally human beings, 4 lakh species. There are a few quotes that we have collected. The famous philosopher called Socrates, he said, he was being forced to drink poison. So while drinking the cup of a poison, he said, I am confident that there is truly such a thing as living again, and that the living spring from the dead. Then in Quran it is mentioned, God generates beings and sends them back over again and again. Then the person of Christian faith, Saint Gregory, who is a bishop of Nyssa, he said, it is absolutely necessary that the soul be purified, and if this doesn't take place in this life on earth, it must be accomplished in future lives. So big philosophers, they also accepted this fact. Then lastly, we have Dhira Statrana Muyati. Dhira means a sober person. That is a translation. So Prabhupada says Dhira means one who is not disturbed in the mind. Prabhupada gives wonderful example in this regard. Just like parents, they do not get bewildered to see how their kids are growing. It is quite natural for them. It's quite obvious. So there is no bewilderment. So why do we get bewildered when soul quits body, enters into another body? So dhiras tatra namuyati. On the contrary, adhira is always disturbed, because he has no knowledge about the difference between spirit, soul and a body. Example can be given in this regard is that of a fish which is out of water. Now the constitutional position, the natural position for a fish is to be in water. As soon as you take the fish outside the water, it starts flapping, suffocating. So one time at Mishra Yoga Society, Srila Prabhupada, while giving a talk, there also happened to be Captain Pandya. So this Captain Pandya is from the same Jaladuta through which Srila Prabhupada traveled to United States. So both, Srila Prabhupada said, both of us we experienced during the journey, voyage, when there was a sea storm and there were hurricanes, our minds were disturbed. So this disturbance of mind is because of unnatural position. So living entity belongs to the spiritual world, and material world, the material existence for the living entity is unnatural for the living entity. And because of that, there is so much of disturbance. There's disturbance in the body, there is disturbance in mind. All of us, we have experienced that. And then Srila Prabhupada, he quotes the most celebrated shloka. He says, Tassadumanne suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyam sadgrahat hitvartha pakam grahamanda kupam vanam gatoyat harim ashrayet. Anyone who has accepted this temporary material body and temporary household life is embarrassed by anxiety, having fallen into this deep dark well of this material existence. Such person is advised to quit immediately and enter the forest, more specifically Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada, after quoting this shloka, he gives the comparison. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means soft bed. So he's attached to gold and bed. That means he's attached to the material opulence. On the contrary, we see Prahlad. Prahlad, as per Sanskrit, Prahlad means Prakrishta Rupena Allad. So Allad means Ananda, bliss. So Prahlad is experiencing bliss, but then that is spiritual bliss. So there is difference between material pleasure and spiritual pleasure. So material pleasure, the difference is of temporary nature, whereas spiritual pleasure is eternal. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada says, a person may like to eat gulab jamuns, but how much can he eat? He can go on eating, but finally at one point of time, he will reach a point of satiety. So those who are from commercial background, they know the law of diminishing marginal utility. So there is point of satiety, and then slowly, slowly the graph goes down. So Srila Prabhupada then says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, living entity who has understood that he is not this body, is basically Aham Brahmasmi realized. So Brahma Bhuta, he is situated at that platform. But those who have not understood this difference, all of us, we are at Prakriti Bhuta. We are still on this bodily platform. We misidentify ourselves with this body. Also, then there are different contexts in which this word is used, dhira. So dhira also means one who can tolerate the six urges, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapastha vegam. So anyone who can tolerate the six urges, actually sarvam api mam pratim sa shishyat, he can initiate the disciples all over the world. Then in this regard, Srila Prabhupada says, man is compared to butter, whereas woman is compared to fire. And a person who is not agitated when he is in contact with woman, that person is to be known as dhira. So one time, there was this conversation between Prabhupada and one reporter. So this reporter was astonished to see how these disciples, many disciples, they were coming one after another, and they were offering obeisance to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada looked at him and told him, you know why they are offering obeisances unto me? Because I have conquered sex desire. You put me in a locked room with naked women, but still I won't be agitated. So that is dhir purush. Also in the scriptures it is said, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadadi kaman tam atmastam paschanti dhira tesham shanti shashvata nataresham. So there are so many living entities. So this is a plural word, nityanam, but there is eko nityanam, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam, but there is one living entity which is actually nourishing all other living entities. So one who has this knowledge, namuyati, he is not bewildered by the illusory potency of the Lord. Adhira basically knows the process of transmigration of the soul. So Arjuna, we can see, he is putting forth this argument, katam bhishmam aham Dronam Sankecha Madhusudana. If I kill them, then I'll be committing sin. And he's lamenting that I won't be able to enjoy the kingdom, even if I win the kingdom after killing them. So Krishna says that, my dear Arjun, All of these people whom you are mentioning, they have become old. Their bodies have become old. So, if you kill them, they will be fortunate enough to get newer body. And wherever they will be able to enjoy the newer bodies. Now, we can see there are a few pastimes that we can correlate in this context with regards to Dhira. One time, at one airport, the flight was delayed and Srila Prabhupada, along with his few disciples, he was waiting at the airport for the plane to come. And there was a brahmachari who had just recently joined, newly joined, maybe hardly 1 or 2 years. And this brahmachari, later on he admitted that actually he used to be, before joining Krishna consciousness, as all of us, we are coming from different background, we had different kinds of conditioning. So this brahmachari also was kind of a flirt. So one beautiful woman, she happened to walk past by. And he could not resist looking at her. So he kept gazing at her. At one moment he realized, what if my spiritual master is looking at me? And he just turned over, looked back. And lo, behold, Srila Prabhupada was right, staring into his eyes. And this brahmachari just immediately looked down. And he was feeling so embarrassed. So once again he lifted his face and he was trying to look into the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada immediately gave a big oceanic smile. And he said, beautiful, wasn't she? And as soon as he said that, he felt like, you know, committing suicide. Then Srila Prabhupada said, no doubt this attraction is going to be there, but imagine, an insignificant beauty like this of this material world is so attractive. Can you imagine how beautiful Krishna and the spiritual world must be? So please have patience. Become a dhira. Have this transcendental knowledge, become a dhira, and tolerate the urges of the senses, and you'll be rewarded afterwards. Then one time during morning walk, one devotee, Bahulashva Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what distinguishes soul from the body? How do we understand this transmigration or the existence of the spirit soul? So Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful example in this regard. He said, just like in an agricultural field, there is a grass, and then slowly, slowly, it starts growing, the paddy starts growing. Now, one should understand, seeing this, that there is someone who is taking care of it nicely. But if the same thing is found, there are so many weeds growing in the jungle, in a forest, and animals, they keep coming, the birds keep coming, and they keep eating those weeds, and sometimes they are decomposed, then you should understand that there is no one to take care of it. So similarly, a motor car, when parked along the roadside, we should understand there is a driver who drives the vehicle. But if there is no one to take care of the vehicle for a long time, then we get to see that vehicle is rusted, it is scrapped. So wonderful analogy he gives in this regard. So similarly, consciousness is the symptom of the existence of the spirit soul. So when, as long as spirit soul is present within the body, body is not decomposed. As soon as the spirit soul quits, body is decomposed. So we'll take another 5 minutes. One time, this was in Johannesburg, Srila Prabhupada was talking to one Indian man. And during the course of the conversation, he was singing, Krishnot Kirtana Gana Paro Premambalo Nidhi Dhira Dhira Jano Priyo Priyakaro Nirmat Saro Pujito. This is the glorification of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, he was mentioning that how 6 Goswamis, they were liked by all of the people, residents of Vrindavan, including Dhiras and Adhiras. So then he said, similarly, our movement is meant for both Dhiras and Adhiras. But then he makes a wonderful point in this regard. He says, Adhiras will keep coming to the temple, will keep coming to this movement, and Dhiras, there will be very, very few. It's very difficult to convert a person from Adhira into a Dhira. But then, Adhiras are most welcome to this movement. But most importantly, all of these adhiras should be led by dhiras. So that is the foundation of this movement. Adhiras should be led by the dhiras. So one time, during the morning walk in Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada was talking to the famous person, Dr. Patel. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned, if a person is not a dhira, if he is adhira, that means he doesn't have the proper knowledge about the difference between spirit, soul and body, then he will be miserable. So Dr. Patel said, dhira? Dhira means buddhi, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, no. Dhira means sober, just like a high court judge. High court judge is a sober person. And after, because he has knowledge about the litigations, so after going through the case, then he gives the proper verdict. So if you go to, then Prabhupada said, if you go to dogs who are fighting among themselves and you tell them that don't fight, don't bark, will they listen to it? They won't. Why? Because they don't have the capacity to understand. So such person who doesn't know the difference between body and soul, who doesn't have the knowledge about this, he is to be considered no better than a dog, Srila Prabhupada said. Then immediately Dr. Patel said, because he was thinking that he is a scholarly person, so he said, but Bhagavad Gita says that we should not discriminate. And he quoted a shloka, Shunicheva, Shobhakecha, Pandita, Samadarshana, Vidyavinaya Sampane, Brahmane, Gavyastini. So a Pandita, a learned person, he always has the equal vision. A dog, dog eater, elephant, etc. He never discriminates among them. So Srila Prabhupada immediately said, we like everyone. We do not reject anyone. Dogs cannot understand it. They don't understand the philosophy. And therefore, we call him and give some Mahaprasad. So everyone started laughing. So this is what I could collect. I think time is up. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any comments, they're most welcome. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Gaur Premanande. Now we'll have Kirtan till Shayandarshan. Question? Who's got?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. In yesterday's class, Krishna Bhagwan spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, yeah, between the two armies to benefit both the armies. Did everybody hear what he had to say? Only Arjuna heard what he had to say.
I think in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that deliberately Arjuna asked Krishna to take his chariot. Senayor Ubayor Madde Ratam Sthapayan Me Achyuta. So deliberately Arjuna wanted Krishna to take his chariot in the middle of the two armies. So the reason that is given here is Arjuna wanted to see with whom he had to fight. That is one reason. But the main reason was actually the dialogue which was going to take place. This is revealed by the Acharyas. So the dialogue which is going to take place between Krishna and Arjuna will be heard by everyone. Now, how everyone could hear it, that is beyond explanation, because scriptures, we have to see everything through the eyes of the scriptures and through the words of the Acharyas. So Acharyas, they explain, this is how that everyone could hear it. If anybody would like to add to this.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.